We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Brian Costello is sponsored by Winters Brothers, Long Island's number one choice for waste removal and recycling services. By Van Buren Buick GMC Garden City Park. Family owned and operated since 1935 by CSEA Local 830. We work for you. And by Play Sugar House, legal sports betting is here. Check it out at PlaySugarHouse.com. $250 deposit match on your first deposit. Does a great job covering the Jets for the Post, New York Post, Brian Costello. Brian, how are you?
I'm good, guys. How you doing?
We're wonderful. Wonderful.
Fantastic. Before we get, because I'm sure we'll probably have fun with his eyes and whatnot, who's going to be the defensive coordinator?
Yep.
Would you lean towards them acquiring Greg Williams, or do you think it's 50-50? Give me an idea of where they are for the hunt for the next head coach of the defense.
No, I think they're pretty confident it's going to be Greg Williams from the people I've talked to. There's some reports out there that Williams might want to talk to the Redskins, I think, was something I saw yesterday. So it's not a done deal yet, but I talked to somebody this morning who said they still think this is going to get done, and Greg Williams will be the defensive coordinator.
Yeah, the longer it goes without happening, it doesn't happen generally, though. That kind of
stuff. Yeah, that's
true. And it is the Jets, and it scares me because this is if Greg Williams is hired here, Brian, I'm very excited about that. I mean, that to me would be a tremendous hire.
It might feel like a long time to us, right? Because this is like. I think the Gase news came down Wednesday night, and Greg Williams was shortly thereafter was rumored to be the DC. But in reality, they had to get through the contract stuff, which I don't think was done until Friday afternoon. Then they wanted to get through yesterday with all the pomp and circumstance, so they did that. So I think, today is when they get down to business and trying to get this coaching staff really together. Mm-hmm. So we'll see if, by the end of the week, if they have a defensive coordinator. Next week is the Senior Bowl. Most teams kind of like to have most of their staff in place before the Senior Bowl happens, and that's when everything kind of kicks into gear in the offseason. So we'll see how this week plays out.
And by the way, real quick, Brant Boyer is officially still in the fold, right?
Yeah, I don't know if they announced it officially, but he is. He's going to be back.
Okay.
How common, right? Because right now the trend is to hire offensive-minded head coaches, which is understandable. Look at the four teams that are still standing: 1, 2, 3, 4 in offense. It's not much of a coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
But how common is it to be run the way Adam Gase described yesterday, which is very hands-on with the offense and basically go get a head coach of the defense? Is that become a very common trend right now in the National Football League to be that hands-off?
Yeah, I think so. There's very few coaches around the league that are the CEO head coaches. Belichick is one. Pete Carroll is one, I think, where they kind of oversee everything and let their coordinators run each side of the ball. The trend now, especially we've seen now the Sean McVay stuff, right? Everyone wants these offensive coaches. Well, they're hiring them to call the plays. Right? You're not hiring them to come in and not call the plays. I think Freddie Kitchens was calling the plays in Cleveland. I saw. So, the reality is if you're calling the plays on one side of the ball, chances are you're not going to have much time for the other side of the ball. And we saw that with Rex, and we saw that with Bowles. And we both were criticized for that a little bit, but I think it's the reality of the way the NFL is today. I mean, you watch the Rams game, Sean McVay on the bench with Jared Goff sometimes when the defense is on the field. And same thing with Andy Reid in Kansas City. They just kind of let their defense coordinator run things. So I don't think that's a huge deal. I think that's just kind of the way the NFL is going right now.
Brian, one thing that maybe the biggest thing with Bowles was they ran rampant on this guy. I mean, there was no discipline on this team. I mean, there really wasn't. The ridiculous penalties, the dumb penalties that we saw over and over again. I just don't think there was accountability in that locker room at all. Going back to when he lost it 2 years ago and all of that, and even though everybody loved the Bowles, the whole deal. And that's one thing I think is going to be with this guy. I mean, this guy sounds to me. Now, that was a weird quote he had about being a player's coach. I thought that was kind of a weird quote. But it sounds to me like this guy's going to be a disciplinarian. And if that's the case, I mean, I'm all for that. I got to tell you that.
Yeah, I think that was a big part of his appeal to the Jets, honestly, too. I think he showed that in Miami. And, I think we were talking about last week, there was some of these quotes came out at the end of the year, the players not liking him. And people I talked to in Miami said, like, those were players that weren't playing. And, you know, he plays favorites. He plays favorites with guys who play well and do the right things. And those are the guys he should play favorites with. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world to have a head coach who isn't beloved by every player on the team.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of lived through it with Rex, and I lived through it with Todd, where these guys, oh, we love him, we love him, we love him. Yeah, then why do you guys keep screwing up? You know, you're not showing you love him the way you're handling the penalties and the discipline thing. So I think the Jets need a little bit of that, and I think that will help. You know, for me, Todd benefited from his experience in the NFL as a player, but it also hindered him in a way. I think he only used things through a player's eyes, and that nothing ever was. He summed it up when he said the alarm clock quote that you guys love.
Oh,
you
know,
sometimes
yeah,
the alarm clock
right,
doesn't go off,
right? Right, right, yeah.
That was like, what? But I think he's seeing it as, you know, oh, I was a 23-year-old player once, and I might have been late for a meeting. He's never an NFL player. He's been a coach his whole life, so I think that might be a little different now this time.
We're talking to Brian Costello about the Jets. I look at, even though the words didn't say it, I look at the bar obviously being raised right now. They have a lot of cap room. They have
yeah.
a top three pick. They have a quarterback that, while this owner didn't say playoff mandate, and I know Joe wanted that and some fans did, I'd have to think the bar is damn high. I mean, he's got to win, and he's got to win fast. And that goes for Mike Maccagnan too, or else we're going to be back here watching another awkward press conference in a couple of years.
Yeah, I don't think it's. I don't think he's got to make the playoffs this year or he's going to be fired. I don't think it's that situation, but I do agree with you. The bar has been raised. They've been pointing to this year for a long time, right? We've talked about this before. In 2017, they kind of came up with this plan of tearing it down and then rebuilding it. This is the year, and they're going to build it back up and go for it. Well, now it's here, so they have to do it. And I don't think Christopher Johnson always expresses himself well in these situations. And same with Woody when he was doing it. But they want to win. These are guys that want to win. And he's gonna give Mike Maccagnan all the resources he can to go out and sign players. It's not like he's one of these owners who's putting the money in his pocket and isn't putting it back to the team. They put money into this team. They want to win. They don't say the playoff mandate thing, which I think is – I'm not into the playoff mandate as much as I know Joe is. I do think they could have been a little bit more – aggressive yesterday in their language and say, you know, we think this guy's going to win a Super Bowl. I think he
right.
can say that when
right.
he introduced a coach instead of
right.
like,
right.
you know, we're going to be competitive. I'm just dying to hear how competitive they want to be. I think they could have gone a little bit further. The playoff mandate is tricky. I heard you earlier in the show, Evan, say about, you know, you go 10-6 and not make the playoffs. And I agree with you. The playoff mandate is a little tricky, but I do think they could be a little bit more aggressive in the public statements of how badly they want to get back to the playoffs.
You know, one of the problems we're talking to Brian Costello is that, you know, I don't unless they win the Super Bowl next year, I'm not going to be convinced of anything with Adam Gase. I mean, I got to be honest with you. I mean, they could be 11-5 and make the divisional round.
Yeah.
Is that making me think that he's still going to be here 4 years from now? I mean, I've seen this over and over again.
Yeah.
So that means nothing to me unless they go out and win the Super Bowl. So that's one of the things about, you know, next year. You know, I mean, to me, 7-9 isn't cutting it. I don't want to see 7-9. But just because they would win 10 or 11 games and make the playoffs – and if they don't win the Super Bowl, what does that really mean either? You know what I mean, Brian?
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from because all these coaches, Todd was even 10-6 in the
Right,
game,
that's right.
The other guys made the playoffs.
Right.
I think you'll still be encouraged, though, Joe, right?
Well, I'd feel better, but still I can't sell my – okay, this is I wouldn't be saying, oh, this is definitely the guy, I'll tell you that.
Right. Yeah, which is fair. But I think, you know, I think all they can do right now with their fan base is just trying to – offer encouraging signs, and if they go out and make the playoffs next year, I think the fan base will be enthused.
Of course.
Maybe not convinced, but yeah.
I'd be enthused, not convinced. That's correct.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand where you're coming from on that completely.
I mean,
yeah.
I want to see them win a Super Bowl like in 3 years. Yeah, seriously. I mean, you know, we talk about Donald and before they really have to pay him, you know, and while he's yep. really not making that kind of money, the time is now, within the next, you know, 3 or so years, to actually win the whole thing, Brian. Really.
I think the key to that is two keys. Donald, obviously, how he develops.
Of course, of course.
The thing is what happened in Foxborough, you know, because that window is going to open at some point when Tom Brady retires, and the Jets have to be in position to pounce on it and go out and get home playoff games, and
Absolutely.
Then you're talking Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
You know, then you're talking Super Bowl.
Right. Absolutely.
You remember the Atlanta Falcons hired Mike Smith to be their head coach. I'm only thinking about this because I heard Smith today say he's done coaching.
Yeah.
Mike Smith began his Falcon coaching career with 4 postseason seasons in 5 years, right? Didn't get to the Super Bowl, but had some very good years, a couple of 13-win seasons.
Right, right.
Had 2 bad years, got fired, became a coordinator. Now he's not coaching again. That's the evidence of why it takes a while to really know. You know what I mean? Because think about
absolutely.
He started his career. Rex Ryan's a great example locally with the back-to-back title games.
Yep.
Of course it takes time. And now you go win a Super Bowl, then
well,
all bets
difference.
Are off.
That changes everything.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
No, yeah, you see it every year. I mean, the Doug Marrone last year was the toast of the NFL, right, for getting the Jaguars there. And then this year they were talking about whether he'd be fired. You know, Adam Gase in Miami. That first year he gets into the playoffs, so that was a big deal, and then he gets fired 2 years later. So, yeah, I know it's going to take some time to know what this is. And I think even with Todd, Joe, you were ahead of the curve. I'll give you credit. You were on him pretty quick that he wasn't the answer. But I think after that first year, a lot of people were saying, you know, that shows some potential, 10-6. And then things fell apart after that.
You know, I want to go back to Maccagnan because it's all on, you know, after they hired a defensive coordinator, it's all on Maccagnan from here on in. And I'm a little worried that Maccagnan, because I don't want Le'Veon Bell and I don't want Antonio Brown. I don't want these guys. I really don't. I think Le'Veon Bell would be a huge mistake. I just don't trust the guy. He plays a position that a lot of guys can play, you know, that we've seen. You don't have to be Barry Sanders to be a very effective running back in this league. I'm a little worried that Maccagnan is going to try to go out there and make a big splash with a guy like that. What do you think about that?
I think there's definitely a chance with Le'Veon Bell. Antonio Brown, I'm not so sure about. I think they'd be a little skittish there. But Le'Veon Bell, I do think if they can get him, you know, with a contract that is guaranteed for 2 years and they could get out of it pretty easily after 2 years, I think they'll do it. I think they're going to want to go out. They have all this money to spend. He's a very talented guy. So I think they will go out and try to get Le'Veon Bell. Now, that being said, Adam Gase is here. Even though Maccagnan has control over the roster, like we talked about, they've said it's going to be a collaborative effort. I don't know how Adam Gase feels about Le'Veon Bell at all.
Right,
so
right.
So that could change things, clearly. Right. But, you know, I do think there's a good chance they're going to make a strong bid for Le'Veon Bell.
Mm.
Right now, early on, obviously we've got months before the draft, free agency, we have some more time. The priority is going to be what? Is it finding that edge rusher, whether it's in free agency or in the draft? What do you see as the Jets' big priority being with all this cap room and obviously having a top three pick?
Yeah, I think the edge rusher is huge. I'm not sure you can find that in free agency. That's sometimes tough to get. You know, some people have said maybe Dee Ford shakes free from Kansas City and they go there. But, you know, Jadeveon Clowney's going to be franchised.
Nah, he's dead. I don't want you there. He's so overrated, that guy. Keep him. Stay there. And he gets hurt all the time. I wouldn't give him a dime, Jadeveon Clowney.
But most times edge rushers are hard to find. So I think they'll do the draft. I think the priority in free agency is going to be building up the offense, building up the offensive line, getting Sam some more receivers, some more impactful Le'Veon Bell, some more playmakers around him. You're just trying to they've got to build around Sam Darnold. You know, we saw it at times this year of just what he was playing with was not adequate. So they've got to really just build up the offense. I think that's going to be the push in free agency.
Yeah, but they also got it. The defense is terrible. I mean, let's be honest. They need help on every level on this defense. Every level of the defense needs major help.
Yeah, and I think, they have enough money to address some defensive guys, too. You know, I don't know what they can do in the secondary. Really, they're locked in with Trumaine Johnson. Obviously, you've got Jamal and Mark.
Well, maybe if Greg Williams is the head coach, I mean, is the offensive coordinator, maybe he can, you know, actually get something out of Trumaine Johnson.
Yeah, maybe. You know, and there's going to be a scheme change if it's Greg Williams
who
goes to 4-3.
Right.
So, you know, there could be changes with that. You know, but, yeah, they've got a lot of holes to fill. There's no doubt. So, McCaggs is going to have to spend his money wisely and spread it around.
Well, I'll tell you, and I think Giant fans would appreciate this and Jet fans as well. Mike Garofolo tweeted that the Colts are letting go their offensive line coach. Dave DeGuglielmo.
Gooch. Yeah, he used to be at the Jets, yeah.
Okay, both teams should hire him because considering what type of transformation we saw from the Colt offensive line, seemed like he deserves a little bit of credit for that, and Frank Reich wants his own guys in there, and that's fine. So I would think he'd be a hot free agent for teams that want to turn around their offensive line.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy. He was with the Jets in 2012 under Sperano. He was a guy who came out and said, They'd have to shoot him dead if they got rid of Wayne Hunter. That was his famous quote.
I missed the Hall of Fame speech for Wayne Hunter, you know?
Yeah. He was with the Patriots when they won it in 14, you know, and then he was scapegoated when they lost. Remember the game they lost the NFC Championship game to the Broncos?
Yeah, of course, sure.
When Von Miller was killing Brady all day?
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, he responded to that after that, basically. So he's an interesting guy. I'm not sure if he has any relationship with Gase, you know, but that, you know, definitely worth looking at.
I'm going to throw a name out there. If they don't hire Greg Williams, I got a name for a guy, and I don't know if the guy would want to do it. He was a head coach for a long time now, but Marvin Lewis wouldn't be a bad guy for a defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I'm not sure what Marvin would want. I don't know if he'd want to go back to being a defensive coordinator after all those years as head coach. You know, that would surprise me. But, yeah, I mean, he obviously was a very good defensive coordinator back in the day with the Ravens.
Yep.
By the way, Joe, I need your opinion on something.
My opinion?
Yeah, because Ernie and I are having a little bit of a disagreement. So we have our own Hall of Fame voting that takes place around here.
Oh, we're going
here.
To the baseball tunnel? Right. Ask Costello
this? Well, it involves him a lot because – so we have everybody around here vote. You voted.
Did he vote? Well, he's got a vote anyway, right?
Well, that's the debate.
I have a real vote, yeah.
Do we allow
you have
Brian,
a vote for the Hall of Fame now?
He has a real one.
I do.
So should we allow a real Hall of Fame voter to vote in our process, or do we keep that away from the real Hall of Fame voters? What do we do?
I don't know. It doesn't matter to me.
All right.
Are you voting for the steroid guys, Brian?
I do vote for the steroid guys.
Okay.
Dove, you have an opinion on this? Because Ernie says no, I say yes.
Because I'm big on the steroid guys getting in.
Dove, hello?
I think it's Ernie's deal. He can make the decision.
Me, Ernie's deal.
Do you want to do this, Brian? Maybe Brian doesn't want to do it.
Nah, he wants to do it.
Do you want to do this?
I can just give you my ballot, yeah.
Have you done your ballot already?
Yeah, they're due January 1st.
But besides Mariano, who else did you vote for?
I voted actually a month ago.
The fact you don't remember disqualifies you.
The fact that I was covered a coaching search for the last 3 years.
Oh, come on. You think I would forget who I voted
for
the Hall of Fame?
Brain is mush. I voted for Bonds, for Clemens, for Halliday. I voted for Edgar.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I voted for Manny. I voted for
Mariano. You voted for Manny
Ramirez?
Oh, my God. Costello, I love you.
Yes, you want him to count
I'm even going
to
forgive you for not liking McCarthy. I love that you voted for Manny Ramirez. One of my all-time favorite players.
I voted for Mariano, obviously. I voted for Sosa.
You know, I did too. I had to vote for Sosa. I'm loving you. He voted for everybody.
Boy, he really went
God
all in on this.
God bless you.
Did you vote for Miguel Tejada? That's really going
on. He's not
not Tejada. I voted for McGriff.
Okay.
All right.
For the first time, I voted for him.
Schilling?
Who am I missing? Give
Kurt
me them,
Schilling?
Evan.
Kurt.
Schilling I voted for,
okay.
Yeah.
Larry Walker?
Yes, and Larry Walker.
Can I ask you? This is a dumb question. We're talking about you're doing football all these years. How do you still have a Hall of Fame ballot for baseball?
I will lose it. I've been football since 2011.
Okay.
So I will lose it when I haven't covered baseball in 10 years. And you guys can argue that's silly, but like all the guys on the ballot right now are guys I covered. There's no one on there that look at the guys on the ballot and when. The good chunk of their career.
No, I understand. I get that.
I might have missed 3 years of Mariano, but I covered Mariano for a long time. Who else was on the first ballot? Halliday. I covered Halliday's prime years. You know, in a couple of years, there's going to be guys on the ballot that I didn't cover their prime years. And
right.
I shouldn't have a vote.
Wait, so you started covering the New York Jets in 2011?
Yes.
Great timing, pal.
Yeah. So you missed you missed Rex's two best years. So you've been covering them, and they haven't been. So. I can blame
it's
you for
fault.
8 years in a row without a playoff
yeah,
appearance.
Yeah, it's my fault. Yeah, when I took over for Mark Canavero in July of 2011.
Right.
Yeah, and it's been nothing but misery for the Jets since.
Boy.
Yeah. Well, it's been misery for 50 years. I mean, it goes well beyond
you.
You
had a couple of good years there.
A couple good years. I mean, they won two division titles since the merger. I mean, they've been to four AFC championship games, lost them all on the road. I mean, let's not get nuts here, you know? It hasn't been so damn great. I mean, I would like to see a Super Bowl again. One thing that makes me feel a little better, okay? And this is nuts, okay? Here's the deal, all right? The Red Sox finally ended now. They're like, you know, they're the Yankees, not the Red Sox. The Cubs, right? The Cleveland thing with the Cavaliers finally winning. The Eagles after 59 years. Here are the Chiefs now after 49 years, you know, positioned to maybe get to the Super Bowl, like I said, after 49 years. Maybe there's a glimmer somewhere. You know what I mean? Maybe.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Maybe there's a glimmer.
I'm close. You know, but Yeah, there's a glimmer. There's a glimmer. I think Donald gives you a glimmer too. You know, it looks like they maybe have a quarterback, and so
right.
We'll see. We'll see.
We'll see if that glimmer doesn't turn into like the usual hemorrhoid. You know, we hope not. You know what I mean, bro?
Yeah.
No, I know. I'm just throwing at it. Brian,
he has an idea because at least to his point, not that I've seen him win anything, and for you it's been a million years.
Right,
he hasn't
right.
even experienced a Jet playoff game.
No, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I covered them as a backup in the playoffs.
I had a beat writer.
I haven't that's Joe, one of your rants, I had the only rant of the last couple weeks where you're killing me over McCarthy and Gase. The only thing I'll take issue with is the idea that the writers don't want the Jets to do well because we want to cover these coaching searches. Remember you said something like that?
I did say that, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, that is completely off base.
Well, that may be for you, okay? But I do feel that there are people in that media, and I won't say any names, who I think do want to see them constantly be a clown circus.
Yeah, I don't.
Okay. I'm not saying you do.
When 2012 was an interesting season to cover, some of them are now it's been a lot of losing. Winning would be a lot more interesting, a lot better for business. Let's see some wins. And the ultimate story, if you're a Jets beat writer, the ultimate story to write is them in the Super Bowl.
Well, of course.
Right? That's going to be the biggest story in New York sports in memory. Them and the Knicks are really the two things that are out there that are the huge stories. Happen.
I mean, let's be honest. I mean, they are 4 years away. Remember the Rangers, the holy grail for the Rangers.
Yep.
Like the holy grail for the Rangers was even like 20 years before they finally won it. And so now it's four years away from where the Rangers were when they finally won the Cup. I mean,
after
54 years. After 50 years, this has to be the holy grail now. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, this is the holy grail.
And the Knicks are not far behind.
No, the Knicks are right. The Knicks are 1 year behind. Well, actually, more than that, because 73. So the Knicks are actually, they're actually 4 years, five years behind.
But the Knicks have made two finals, so at least they're saying about that.
Right.
Yeah, but the trade-off is they've been horrendous now for a decade and a half.
They've been hard.
Yes.
It's bad.
But I mean, that's the ultimate story: is the Jets win the Super Bowl.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine this moment? I mean, I think about this moment all the time. I know I probably will never see it. I'll be dead. I imagine, the AFC title game, MetLife Stadium, nothing but Jet fans, like the real Jet fans in the building. You know, there'd be some frauds there, of course, but the real Jet fans in the building, okay? And that moment that I know it's going to happen. I think about this sometimes at night, think about it, how I would react, what it would be like. After 50 years, I was 15, I really didn't appreciate it like I would obviously appreciate it now. And I thought it was going to be like that all the time. Remember, I got to see, within like a year and a half, I got to see all my teams win championships. The Mets, the Jets, the Mets, and the Knicks. What is that? And I thought it was going to be like that all the time. Now, what a, silly me.
Yeah.
How stupid am I? So, this is all that's left for me now. That moment, you know what I mean? That's it. You know what I'm saying, Brian?
Yeah. No, I can't even imagine how big that story would be. I did the Giants Super Bowl in 2011, and there was so much excitement about that, but it doesn't even come close. They had been there 4 years before.
Right.
So, I guess the Rangers in 94 is the equivalent. You're right. That would be, and I was in high school then. So, I don't really remember what the coverage was like then, but I can't imagine just how much excitement there would be in the city if the Jets ever got there.
It would be unbelievable.
Hopefully we see it.
Hopefully
Brian?
I'm alive. I'll have to come up from Florida more than likely for the game, but that's okay.
Maybe it'll be in Florida.
That's true.
Game.
I mean,
he's talking about the
I gotta be at the championship. You think I wouldn't you think I'm not at that championship game? Bro.
No, you gotta go for that.
I mean, are you kidding me? I'm there. There's no doubt about that.
Thank you, Brian.
All right, Brian.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Always a pleasure.
There he is, the multifaceted. Yeah,
he really
covers
is.
The Jets.
Yeah, he
Hall
really
of Fame
is
voter.
Multifaceted.
He does it all.
He does.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.